All right, take your Bibles and turn there with me, if you would. I'm sure you're already on your way, so find John chapter 16. If you have a Scofield Bible, that'll be right after John 15. Okay. Always tickled me. I used to have a pastor, anytime he would give his text, he kind of recommended Scofield's, and if it was in John, he'd tell you what page it was on. If it was in Jeremiah, he would never mention what page it was on. You just have to find it. But John chapter 16, let me say, is this will be our last message in the evening service. And just to let you know how much I appreciate and do not take for granted this opportunity to be here. Dr. Reynolds could have called anyone he desired to, and they would have made a way to come and preach for him. And he's allowed me to be a part of your service here, and I'm humbled by that, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I appreciate always the privilege of coming and being with him and his family. And we've known them for a long time now, and all the rest of the family also. And it's always a joy there. And then to get to be with the church family. I'm got to where I have to watch what I do out in Orange City because a lot of people know who I am. And being here so much that you got to be careful when people know you. And also not only that, but to be around other pastors and preachers that come in. That it's a joy to get to know them. And some that of years past, and now these new opportunities to find fellowship and enjoy that company, and I'm grateful for it. John chapter 16, I believe, is going to be easy to outline or easy to give a theme to because of the first verse. The first verse says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." So he tells us exactly the purpose of the message that he gives. He says, "I'm saying these things to you that you might not be offended." The Lord here is in his last days and hours now of life, and the people that he holds most dear in the world, he's going to be saying goodbye to. And he's going to do that in this chapter. And so he's very touched by these words, and he feels as though he has a great responsibility to prepare them for his exit, to prepare them to live without the strength that he has been to them for these 3 years now. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Now, the word offended there is not used the same way we would use the word offended. We would probably define our use of the word offended as someone, when they're offended, their feelings have been hurt. If they're offended, they have been discouraged by something you've done. To be offended in our use of the word gives us an excuse to pout. "Well, you've offended me." That's not the use of the term here. The word offended here means to trip up or cause to stumble. And he's saying here, "I'm telling you these things so that when I'm gone, when these things happen, you'll not get tripped up or caused to stumble." I think everyone in the room probably knows believers who have gotten saved, and you have no reason to doubt their testimony. Genuinely saved, and boy, they get in there and they serve in the Lord for a while, and something comes along that offends them, and they're caused to get tripped up, or they stumble. And they never do get back on track. Here he's telling these disciples, there'll be a lot of things, a lot of occasions, that if you're not careful, Satan's going to trip you up. He's going to cause you to stumble, and he's going to try to make a spiritual fatality out of you. You visit many doors, you'll find people who... I used to go to church all the time, but something happened, and now I guess I just kind of got tripped up. I guess I stumbled, and now I don't go back. Let's look at these verses, and amazing, there's five things that the Lord mentions here, okay? Five things he mentions here. Five offenses that they're going to face. Not maybe. Not possibly. But he says, these are the things you're going to face. Don't let them trip you up. Don't let them cause you to stumble. First of all, in verse number 2-6, he is saying persecutions will come. You're going to have persecution. Look at this. They shall cast you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. My soul, how would you like for the pastor to tell you he's going to be out of town a few days, going to be gone, wants you to be responsible for some things, and by the way, while I'm gone, they'll probably try to kill you. Amen. That's what he's saying right here. Persecution's going to come. And do you think, it seems to me like he could be looking down the road at a man named Paul, that when he says he's going to try to kill people, he will kill people, thinking he's doing God a favor. Religious fanatic. There isn't anything as dangerous as a religious fanatic. And he says, these people are going to persecute you. They're going to be after you. They're going to do everything they can to stop you. And thinking that they're doing God a service. I wonder how many young people's ever gotten saved, you know, and boy, they just get on fire for the Lord. And they just believe in their heart. Everybody's going to be so happy that I'm a Christian now. And you go back to work to those places you left, and at break table you say, hey, fellas, let me tell you what happened to me this weekend. Man, I got invited over to the church there in Orange City. The Word of God was preached, and man, something come over me. They tell me it was Holy Ghost conviction, but something just drew me, and I couldn't get away from it. And I went down there and asked God to forgive me and save me, and He birthed me into His family. Isn't that great? Well, maybe we don't need you on the bowling team anymore. Maybe we don't need you at the break table anymore. Why don't you find some other of those kind of people to... What's the matter? Well, we just don't feel comfortable with you now. Amen. That's the kind of persecution you're going to face. Sometimes it's vocal, and sometimes it's veiled, and sometimes it's very obvious. But if the world despises Christ, if you are conformed to the image and likeness as we've heard preached, they're going to despise you also. The Bible says, yea, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What do I do, preacher? Just take it. Just pray. Just be kind. But don't let it trip you up. Don't let it cause you to stumble. Don't let it cause you to quit. Don't let the world win that skirmish, all right? He goes on down through there and he describes other things. But these things have I told you. Now he says, I'm telling you ahead of time, you're going to have persecution. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, when it takes place, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. I was with you, but I'm leaving you now, and you're going to have to man up, get your big boy britches on, and don't let these things offend you. Amen. Well, somebody sat in my seat. Amen. They didn't sing my song. Talking about Dr. Rollins. I was with him one time and he said, man, I had something to deal with last night. He was still mad about it. You know how he was. Lunch the next day, he's still mad about it. He said, had this lady come to me and she said, I'm upset and I'm going to let you know why I'm upset. And he said, well, get it off your chest, hon. And she said, I have been counting now for 5 years and this lady has sung X number of solos more than I have. And I want you to know I quit. He said, if I'd known you'd been counting, you'd have quit a long time ago. I'm with you now. But when I'm gone, the persecution is going to get even worse. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm going to be leaving you. And I want to encourage you. Don't let persecution cause you to stumble, cause you to get tripped, get offended, and want to quit. It's kind of maybe what took place when John the Baptist sent from prison and said, Lord, are you the one? Or do we look for another? And Jesus said, well, let's figure it out whether I'm the one or not. The dead are being raised, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor have the gospel preached to them. What do you think? And then he said, blessed are those who don't get offended in me. You see, prison and other things had caused John to have a little stumble, to get tripped up. And like the disciples he was trying to encourage here, he was not sure. Let's go on. Through the 8th verse there. He tells us that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin. Look down if you would please in verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you that it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he goes on down through there with some more things. But now listen, I believe this is what he's telling the disciples. You're going to be looking at the world, and it's going to be easy to say, the world is winning. The world is getting by with things. Why isn't all this sin judged? And he's saying, don't let that trip you up. The Holy Spirit's coming and he will reprove the world of sin. Amen. I need that advice every now and then because I'll be honest. It just bothers me if I think somebody's getting away with stuff. Does it bother you? Thank you for the honesty, and you liars will preach on that next time, all right? It bothers us when it seems like people who ought to be getting it aren't. It bothers us when it seems like the world is getting by with stuff. I believe there was one of the Old Testament prophets said, Lord, aren't you doing it? Don't you see anything? Don't you... Are you blind? And the Lord said, I'm doing things that if you understood what I'm doing, it would cause you to tremble. Hey, listen, the world's not getting by with anything. Don't let that trip you up. Well, I'm just going to quit serving God. It doesn't seem like there's any difference in people who serve God and people who don't. You know, the world prospers and it seems like there isn't any judgment. There isn't any fairness. There isn't any upcomings. God, aren't you doing anything? He says, I'm going to do something. Don't you worry about that. You let me take care of that. Amen. When I get in traffic, I just say, God, Why aren't you killing these people? Amen. It's just fret. And you know what God says? Now, aren't you proud? Aren't you proud? No, I don't want him to kill them. I just want him to get them off the road. We just get frustrated when life isn't fair. Have you ever seen children get frustrated and get stumbled and get off track when they come home and say, Daddy, they put this person on the ball team and I've always been a better player than that. But I found out, the coach is dating somebody's daughter. So they got the break and I didn't. That's not fair. And you have to explain, honey, that's the tip of the iceberg. Life is not fair. But one of these days, God's going to take care of it. Amen. Now, disciples, you're going to be preaching. You're going to be ministering. You're going to be doing what I've told you to do. You're not always going to be received. Some people will despise you. But listen, that one day God's going to set all that straight. Don't let that throw you for a loop. Let's go on. Verse number 12. He's speaking to them. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And he goes on and tells another ministry of the Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. One day we're going to be taught everything we need to know. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you don't have the capacity to receive them now. I know you're going to get frustrated. Have you ever gotten frustrated at your ignorance, at your inabilities, and at the lack of what do I do now? How do I accomplish this? What do I do? He says, don't let that throw you. When the time comes, I'll give you what you need. I believe that. He's saying the Holy Spirit will be there and he will teach you. He'll give you what you need. Sometimes we just get frustrated at our own incompetence, don't we? Man, I just feel just so inadequate. And that's a feeling many of us have. But he said, when you find those feelings of inadequacy and you're facing things you've never had to face before, you're going to be faced with things that I took care of while I was here. Now, I'm going to be gone, but listen to me. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you, and he'll speak the things that I would have spoken to you had I been here. You just listen to him. Amen. You're going to have one with great wisdom inside of you. Pastor and I were talking and coming over here. Just a little situation that came up, and we were discussing something. And I said, I don't know what it is, but there's a little bell going off in this situation. And it seems like the Holy Spirit's telling me, stay away. Just stay away. The Holy Spirit will caution you when you need to be cautioned. And when the Holy Spirit says, leave it alone, leave it alone. When the Holy Spirit says, go for it, go for it. But he'll give you that wisdom. You'll have that teacher inside of you. And don't get overwhelmed. Sometimes people get scared to death when they're asked to do something in the church. Could you help teach this class? Or could you work in this ministry? Oh, I don't know. I've never done anything like that. Well, there's the first time, and you need to jump in there. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you instruction, and he'll teach you what you need to know. Amen. Don't let it intimidate you. Don't let it scare you. We'll be taught what we need to know. And you know what I found out? He won't teach it to you until you need it. Amen. He just don't lay off the roadmap and lay out the plan and lay out the blueprint and say, okay, do you approve of this? No, he says, you take a step, you listen to me, and the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. He will give you the instruction you need. And just when you think that you're going to be up against the wall, he'll move the wall back another few feet. Just trust him. Just trust him. Don't let anything overwhelm you. The fourth thing. This is, it gets a little personal right here. Look over at verse 22. He's speaking tender words about his death, his crucifixion. And they are, I'm sure, standing there with their mouth open. Look at verse 22. And now, therefore, you have sorrow. And he's described his sorrow that's coming. But I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. Disciples, you're going to be grieved to the bottom of your heart. Wouldn't it be nice if we could, with liberty, preach the TV ministry, much of the TV ministry's philosophy, and something good's going to happen to you today. And man, you just walk with God, you're never going to have another problem. You drop 50 cents in God's slot machine, yank a handle, and $10 will come out. If you send me $10 first. It's just going to be a walk. Glory, hallelujah, every day. And then you found out, Christians bury Christians just like lost people bury lost people. Christians have disasters. Christians have cancer. Amen. You're going to have grief. You're not going to be spared grief. You're going to grieve, not as those who have no hope, but you're going to grieve. And he says, you're going to sorrow. Your hearts are going to be broken, and you're going to feel like you can't go on another day. But listen to me, you will have sorrow, but I'll see you again. I'll see you again. And when we're reunited, you're going to have great joy. And no man's going to take your joy from you. I don't know how many times the Lord's directed my heart to use that verse in a funeral service. Now, therefore, you have sorrow. But I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and no man will take your joy from you. Disciples, if you're going to be stopped the first time your heart's broke, you're not going to go very far. If you're going to quit the first time your heart's broke, you're not going to last very long. Don't let grief and the issues of life and the things that are going to come into your heart and break your heart, don't let that cause you to stumble. Don't let that cause you to be tripped up. Don't get offended by that. I'm telling you, these things are going to happen before they happen. So when they happen, you'll remember the Lord told us that we would be hurt and that we would be grieved and our hearts would be broken. But one day, God's going to heal all that up. Amen. One day. We've had some tragedies in our church. Totally unforeseen. And I tell you, you have to be careful when you're telling parents and loved ones who have lost. You have to be careful lest they think you're just being flippant about it. It's not being flippant. It's just preaching the gospel. We will see them again. Amen. There will be a reunion. That God's going to take care of those things. But He's saying, listen, disciples, if you let that grief just bog you down, if you let it become a stumbling block, if you let it trip you up, if you're offended over occasions of grief, those things are going to come. And you know, one of the things I read when our friend Job went through all those difficulties of that first day, he said, as a good Baptist, man, I'm glad this day's over. Whew. This has been a tough one. And the next verse says, and the next day, here come more. Amen. What do? You just plead the grace of God for His help and for His kindness and His mercy, and just say, God, help me get up, put another foot in front of this one and another in front of that one, and just keep going until these things work out. We're going to have grief. We're not going to be insulated or isolated from grief. I think one of the greatest obstacles every pastor has to overcome is discouragement. And that's just something that's constant every day. The devil will try to use it and try to beat you up and all these kind of things. And the Lord said, don't get offended. Now, I'm telling you, you're going to have grief. People are going to give you grief. Natural grief is going to come. But you'll get over it. You'll go on. Don't let it trip you up. Let's go on to the last thing. Verse 24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. He says we're going into a new ball game now. I'm going to be gone. And you need to understand where your provisions are going to be coming from. I'm not sending you out there to be a beggar on the world. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall speak unto you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and that day you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I am come out of the Father. He's saying here, I'm not going to leave you without resources. I'm not going to leave you without being provided for. I have been here to take care of you these years. We've supplied your food. We've supplied your comforts. We've taken care of you. But now, are you listening to me? He says, now, when you ask of me, I'll speak to my Father, and my Father will bless you with what you need to have. Ask anything. Now, in some other references there in the New Testament, this same thing is repeated, and preacher touched on it today. Just ask it. You say, well, preacher, that just never has worked for me. I've asked and it didn't happen. I've asked and it didn't work. The Bible says, ask anything in my name that my Father might be glorified. I'll give it to you that my Father might be glorified. He says, my effort is to glorify my Father, not you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He says, if you will be in the fruit-bearing business, anything you ask, I'll speak to my Father, and my Father will provide it for you, that He might be glorified when you're bearing fruit. Amen. He says your provisions are going to be there. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret over it. When you need something, you just come and tell God about it. And if it's in the will of God and He'll be glorified by it, my Father will give it to you. Very quickly, just to review. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might not be offended, tripped up, stumbled, caused to fall. Persecutions will come. The world is going to be judged. We will be taught what we need to know. You're not going to be spared grief, but your grief will be turned to joy. We have the promise of the Lord's provision. He told them, I don't want you to become a spiritual fatality. I don't want you to become one of those used-to-bes. I don't want you to get tripped up and fall and it just become a end of your spiritual walk. I don't want that to happen. God speaks to our heart the same way. I believe He cares just as much that we keep going as He cared about the disciples keeping going. Amen. I believe He wants to see us stay on our feet, serving, not get offended and fall and trip and waste time and waste energy and things go on undone that ought to be done. But He gives us the same caution that He gave the disciples. Let's bow our heads and Pastor, you come.